sure can be aggravating. Amen. Like all these other things, I mean, that we do. You've got all the modern electronic technical stuff. That's great when it works. But if it don't, it sure is a headache, isn't it? Amen. But we do appreciate Brother and Sister Eastridge and known them for several years. And they've helped us. And we've prayed together and talked on the phone together. And you know, he's got a lot going on and got a lot of things that he does on a real consistent basis. And sometimes you wonder how in the world he gets all that done. So if you would, pray for them as they travel, all right? I want you to take your Bibles with me just for a few minutes this morning. Look with me in the book of James. Look with me in the book of James, chapter number 1. You're going to look in James, chapter number 1, and kind of get our year started off. I've been working on, you know, one of those things that I usually do as far as some kind of little saying, and I've got in it. I've written, I don't, with nothing, and the word six on the end of 26, it's kind of tough to rhyme something with it, you know, like sticks and picks and tricks and all that. I mean, there's a lot of words, but I don't know what to do with them, so maybe we'll find something. But anyway, in the meanwhile, we're just going to preach, okay? Just take your Bible with me this morning. Look in the book of James, and I hope you've studied the book of James. I know we've gone through it here on one of our Wednesday night type studies where we go through verse by verse and look at it. But let's look at it this morning, if you will. And we'll start in chapter number 1, verse number 13. And James is writing and he's explaining some things. And really, I mean, when you look at the book of James, and he starts out talking about the temptations that there are in life, the trials and troubles, and you kind of wonder, what in the world, where did he come from? Why did he get on this bent? Well, it's probably because the Holy Spirit gave him those words, and there were so many people living in that day, and that's what they felt like, and that was what they were experiencing. They felt like, man, we're in this situation, and you know, where in the world is God in all of this? And do you ever feel that way? Like Brother Easter was just talking about some things they'd gone through this last couple of years and sicknesses and problems and issues that pop up during all of that sort of thing. A lot of you have been through it and you understand. There are those sort of things. There are battles. There's problems. There's things happen in your family. Things happen in your job. Things happen with your health. Things happen in your finances. Things happen in churches. I mean, there are just all kinds of stuff that can happen and that does happen. And let me just tell you, a lot of folks say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Big deal, son. You're going to have trouble too. And if you don't believe that, grab your Bible and read what happened in the book of Acts to Paul. Paul didn't say, well, I got saved on the road to Damascus and it all ended happily ever after, the end. No, it didn't go that way, did it? He was in fights, he was in trouble, he was in persecutions, he was in trials and issues with people and places and whatever. He had it all, right? But thank God, the Lord was there to help him in every step of the way. So James has started off in these first 12 verses, and he has said, of course there in verse 12, he does say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he said, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And in other words, he's saying, there are some reasons that you go through the stuff that you go through in your life. Look in verse 13. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when sin hath conceived, or lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness, or the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for your word. Bless us here today, and just give us some wisdom and insight and some good things out of the Word of God, that we may just encourage our hearts, we may go on our way, that we may be lifted up and blessed and assured of the things that you do. We thank you again for all that you do for us, how that you love us, how that you give us your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Lord, I pray that we just open our eyes and see those things, and thank you again for all that you do for us, all that you have provided for us, all the people that are here today, and Lord, for those that are sick today, bless them. If there's someone that's listening, someone here this morning that needs salvation, the salvation of God, speak to their hearts, draw them to a place of salvation in Christ alone, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I just want to preach to you for a few minutes about verses particularly 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. James is giving us some information here that we need to hear. And he is saying, look, you know, particularly talking about every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom's no variableness or neither shadow of turning. And as of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. I mean, he's telling us some things about God. And here's what I want you to get just right off the bat and right out of the gate in 2026, if you will, this year. Let's just talk about God is good and God is great. Amen? God's good and God is great. I think that's a good stand and a good place for us to plant our feet. And as we get ready to go into this idea of being a new year as we start. I mean, hey, the first thing you need to realize is get your feet solidly upon the foundation that you've got a good God and you've got a great God. Amen? Aren't you glad we got a good God and a great God? I mean, God's good, friend. Amen. Brother Alvin, say all the time. And all the time, God's good. Amen. Let me just tell you, thank God that we have a good God. I mean, there are people today that are probably doing some kind of religious service, and they're not sure about the goodness of their God. Is the God that they serve, is he angry today? Is he in a good mood? Is he going to listen and hear me as I come to him and make my petitions and my wants and my will? Thank God, can I tell you, I have no doubt about that today. I've got a God that hears when I call. I've got a God that listens when I pray. I've got a God that delivers in my time of need. I've got a God that's good. Amen. I've got a God that's good. So, again, look at this. And I want you to notice verse number 16 out of all this that James has said. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, if you notice, we just read verses 13 through 15. When you're reading that, he's talking about temptation and problems that are coming. He said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He said, because God cannot be tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt men with evil. He said, don't think that way. And then he goes into the thought about every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust when he's conceived brings forth sin, sin when it's finished brings forth death. And, you know, that's somebody told me a long time ago, that's God's LSD. Y'all heard about LSD? Well, here's God's LSD, lust, sin, and death. That's the way that works, okay? But Paul is saying, look, James is saying in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. And somebody says, well, you know, what's he saying by that? Well, maybe there's two ways that you could look at this and say, maybe here's a couple of things he's saying. First of all, he may be saying this, don't be deceived by the source and the consequence of sin. He just got through talking about sin. He said, don't err in that. Don't you be confused over where sin comes from. He said, God doesn't bring sin and tempt people in a sinful way in their life. That's not where it comes from. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Hey, a lot of times that sin stuff comes from within inside of you.
Amen.
Comes from inside of me. Comes from the inside of us. And he said, look, that sin when it, or that enticement when it happens in temptation, he said it can be caused by our lust. That lust brings forth sin. And sin, when it gets through, it brings forth death. He said, don't be mistaken about where all of that problem of sin comes from. Or he could be saying this. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, maybe don't be erring over the understanding of what God's business is all about in some times of trial and trouble in your life. God's wanting to bless you. And God's wanting to work some things in your life. And that's when he goes into verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift cometh is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I mean, he's saying, look, don't get all of this stuff mixed up about sin and about God and his beneficence and his goodness toward it. He said, don't get mixed up on those things. Don't err in your thinking about these. There's a lot of folks, you know, they get all messed up. Well, God did this and God did. Listen, there's a lot of things God's getting blamed for that he didn't do, right? There's a lot of things the devil's getting blamed for that he didn't do. But there's a lot of things that are from me and you that we dare not even blame ourselves for, but we're the cause of many of the things that go on in our life, right? And can I tell you, sometimes, just like the old preacher used to say, you're just experiencing life. Things are happening because you're a living in this world, right? I mean, I told you, hey, earlier, Paul suffered some of the same things that you and I did. Just because he got saved, it did not change the entirety of his life. He still lived in the same body. He still had the physical problems. He had the emotional issues. He had, spiritual battle. Had every bit of that. And he was as saved as anybody could be. I mean, you want to find somebody in your Bible that you want to look up to and think about their salvation, look at the Apostle Paul. So James says here, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. What else is he saying? Well, I believe he's telling us, as I say, about God is good. God's good. I mean, when you look in verses 17 and 18, let's concentrate on that. And let's talk about, first of all, that our God is unequaled in his goodness. Our God is unequaled. There's nobody as good as our God. Amen? I mean, ain't nobody as good as our God. Well, why do you say that? Well, listen to what he says. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. I want you to see something about how good that God is. I mean, we got a good God. First of all, I want you to notice that we've got a God that wants to give us good gifts. Every good thing. Is that what he said? Yeah, he said that. He said every good gift comes down from God above. You've got a good God and a good God that gives good gifts. Amen. You remember when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's teaching them about praying. And when he's talking about praying, he tells them, you know, ask, seek, and knock, all those things. And he said, if you'll pray and ask and trust God, God will give you the things that you need. And he said, but, you know, he says, let me ask you this. He said, which of you, if your child came and asked you for something, and he goes through a list of stuff, he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And if he asked for a fish, would you give him, you know, a snake and all that kind of stuff? Well, what would you do in that case? Well, he said, if you then, Jesus ends it up by saying this, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more shall not your heavenly Father give good things to those that love him? Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying our God knows how to give good gifts. Our God knows how to give good. Aren't you glad for the good gifts that God gives you every day? I mean, God gives good stuff, amen? I mean, man, he ain't like some of us. We just went through Christmas, and some of y'all got some stuff, and I'll tell you, I seen them in the store. They're lined up. They're sending it back. I mean, they didn't like it, or it was the wrong size, or it was the wrong style, or it was even the wrong thing, and they're trying to return it. I'm glad God's given me some stuff. I'm not sending it back. Thank God. I'm just praising him for the good gifts that he gives, amen? God's given some good gifts. I mean, he knows how to give good. He gives good stuff. I like the stuff that God gives. But not only does he give good gifts, I want to tell you that he is good and gracious and generous in his giving. Do you see that? He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God gives good gifts, but he's a good giver in giving good gifts. I mean, it's just not like, you know, sometimes you think, well, I got to buy something. I got to give something to somebody. I'm going to give them this. And it might be a good gift, but you're not necessarily a good giver. You just happen to, you know, stumble across or pick the right thing, or they told you what they want. And, but aren't you glad God gives some good gifts to us every time? That he gives good gifts, but he's a good giver. I mean, he gives out of his goodness, out of the goodness and the love and the mercy and the grace of God. God begins to give us the things that he does, all the blessings that he gives us, all of the good stuff that we have. They're all given because God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's doing some good giving there, isn't he? I mean, he gave the very most precious thing that he had. He gave his own son so that you and I might live. Back over in the book of 1 John, and if you want to flip over, it should just be a few pages in your Bible, but in 1 John, in chapter number 3, John writes this and says, he says, behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Listen, he said, behold, our beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. He said, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Don't you know God is giving us some good stuff here? I mean, he has given us some great things here. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God's good gifts are given because he's a good God. Amen. He's good at giving. I mean, John said, wow, can y'all believe the goodness of God? Flip over one page probably in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 4. And look down there in verse number 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He said, in this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Praise God. God gives good gifts, and God is a good giver. Amen. God's good at giving. He gives the right thing. He just knew exactly what you and I needed. He said, let me pick out the very best thing that they need. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them my only begotten Son, and he's going to save them from their sin. You remember, we've talked about this here for the last several weeks, where all of the people in Israel have been 400 years without hearing anything from God. There's no spokesman, there's no prophet, there's no priest, there's nobody that said a word about God. And then all of a sudden, on a hillside, as shepherds are watching their sheep, here comes an angel and announces the birth of the Savior. Good news, God has a gift. He's given a good gift to y'all. He said, behold, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, God's got a good gift, but God's a good giver. I like it when he gives stuff and the way that he gives it. God came to us and he said, can I just tell y'all how much I love you? Let me give you that. You know what? You didn't deserve it. It's not, you're not worthy of it. It's not anything that you actually ought to have. But you know what he did? He said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you this. You ever had people do that? You know what you do? When somebody gives you something like that down here, you look at them and you say, they've got an ulterior motive. They're up to something. What are they looking for? What kind of advantage are they trying to get? Isn't it gracious when somebody just comes up and says, here, let me give you something, and I'm doing it just because I love you. And you look at them like, now, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? I just want you to know I love you. You remember the story in the Bible that David said, is there any left yet of the house of Saul that I may show what? The kindness of God unto them. Mephibosheth was down in the land of Lodibar. I mean, he was separated from the king and his goodness. But David said, hey, when he found out there was one left, he said, go get him and bring him. And when he brought him, Mephibosheth feared. He was afraid that David would probably kill him and get rid of the lineage of Saul. But David said, I want to bless you. And he looked at him like, what are you doing that for? He said, I'm a dog. I'm nobody. Oh, I don't even deserve to be in your presence. And David said, guess what? I'm giving you back everything that you've lost. Woo, ain't that glory? You know what Jesus did for us? God gave us back what was lost in Adam when we came to knowledge of salvation in Christ. He gave us back what we'd lost. And why did he do that? Well, you certainly didn't deserve it. Can I tell you, Mephibosheth didn't deserve it. Mephibosheth, as a matter of fact, was down in the land of Lodibar. He had escaped during all the time when problems came in the city and people were being killed and they were after King Saul and Jonathan, Mephibosheth's daddy, all the other folks. They would have killed him too if he'd still been there. But Mephibosheth escaped. But in the escape, the lady, the little nurse maid that had him, dropped him. And he was injured in his legs. The Bible said he was crippled in both of his legs. You know what that made him? Good for nothing. He wasn't good for anything. He wasn't worth anything to David. He couldn't work for David. He couldn't go plow a field. He couldn't go be in the army. He couldn't do any of that. But you know what David said? I just love you anyway. But King, I'm all messed up. Can I tell you, I was all messed up when Jesus came to me. You was messed up when he come to you. But you know what he said? I love you anyway. I'm going to take. You know what that is? That's good God giving good gifts. He's a good giver. He loved you enough to give you life. To give you his grace and his mercy. He loved you. He just wanted to do it for you. Amen. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. I mean, get a hold of that. For God so loved the world. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of times people in this world, they ain't so loving them. Amen? Right? I mean, there's some of them. I'm marking them off the list. Amen? Oh, listen. There's some of them. Well, they ain't worth loving. But you know what? God said, yeah, they're worthwhile to me to love them. And so much that I'm giving my greatest gift for them. And gave Jesus. So God. He's a good giver. And not only that, listen what he says. He says that every good gift, every perfect gift, listen, he said it's from above. It comes from above. He said, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. You know what that means? In the verbiage, in the grammatical part of it, it means he keeps on doing it. What I'm saying is he continually gives good gifts. You know what? You got up this morning, and God gave you a gift. Amen. Amen? Boy, you got up and you got to come to church. And I mean, the sun's shining and God's blessed. You sat down at your table and you ate something that was prepared. And you had a vehicle to drive in. And you had clothes to put on. You had water and heat and air and all. Hey, I'm telling you, God's still good every day. Amen. Amen. I mean, the Bible tells me that his mercy endureth forever. Oh, what did the writer in Lamentations say? He said, that great is thy faithfulness. He said that God's mercies are new every morning. When you get up in the morning, you ought to open your eyes and say, thank God we got another day. Amen? I mean, listen, we ought to be thankful. It's a continual thing. I have no idea. how God's going to bless me throughout this day. And if God gives me tomorrow, how he's going to bless me through that, I don't know. But you know what? It's been a pretty good track record so far. Amen. He has done what he said that he would do. And all of these things are coming down. And they keep on coming down. They keep on coming down. And I know that they're coming down from above, from him, from my heavenly Father. Amen. So first of all, let's just say God's unequaled in his goodness. But second of all, look at this. Let's talk about the fact that God is unchanged in his greatness. God's unchanged in the kind of greatness that he has. I mean, listen, you see the perfections that there is in his greatness. Look what it says. It says, every good gift, every perfect gift from above cometh down from the Father of light. Listen to what he says. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I mean, you know what? We can't make that claim. Let me tell you that the scientific mind today cannot make that claim. Do you realize everywhere you and I go, the light that we have is going to cast a shadow. I can look right down the middle aisle and I can see shadows falling this way from this side, falling this way from this side. Why? Because that's an imperfect light. These lights are imperfect. You go out in the sun, and guess what? The same thing happens for the day. You get in the sunshine, you got a shadow, you got a shadow. Wherever you move, you know, that you ever watch some of them little silly videos of cats? Hallelujah. That's what a cat's good for, trying to chase down a shadow. They'll jump on it, and they'll look around, you know. They're all scrambling around. They can't get it. Well, that's the way that this world, everything that's done, casts a shadow. But do you see what it says about God and his light? It says he is the Father of lights, with whom in that light there's no variableness. Neither is there a shadow of turning. What do you say? I'm telling you, I got to tell you, God's great in the things that he does. And here the example is that of light. I mean, when you look at it, you know what? He's the Father of lights. I mean, man, do you know what James has been talking about? Temptations. You know where temptations try to lead you? Into the dark. You know, come on over here, the devil says. And you know where the devil wants you? He wants you to get over in a dark corner somewhere and let me whisper in your ear. But you know what the Lord says? Come into the light. Get out here in the middle of the light. Because he is what? The Father of lights. What your Bible just said. He's the Father of light. And he is trying to get, you know what Jesus said while he was here? Over in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. I'm the light of the world. Thank God. Aren't you glad that? Man, listen, whenever you and I are in the light, well, Jesus said he's the light. Back in the Gospel of John, you want to go all the way back over there to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Jesus, John has given us a description, if you will, the Christmas story from John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word with God, and Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. It said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But listen, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Can I tell you, God wants me and you in that light. God sent his Son to put us in the light. And God is the Father of lights. And again, John writes and says, in him, in Jesus, is life. The only life you're going to find is in him. And you know what? John 14:6. Brother Ronnie was talking about this morning. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the life, and that life is the light of this world. Amen? And this light that God gives, his light, is for our safety. I mean, when you're in the dark, you know what you try to do? I mean, you're probably like me. I wake up in the middle of the night and maybe got to go to the bathroom, got to go to the kitchen, whatever I'm doing. And you know what? I want to start looking for the light, don't you? I mean, we don't live, most of us, in your homes. You don't live in a complete darkness. Boy, ain't that a kick. When the power goes off, I tell Lynn, I say, we got to sit here and watch TV in the dark. Amen? I mean, listen, you can't do anything. You're sitting there like, she's like, where are you? I'm right over here next to you. I mean, when it gets dark, boy, and the power's off and there's no light, it's kind of a real scary thing. I mean, it's just, you don't know what to do. You get up in the night, you know what you're looking for at your house? You're looking for a light. You've got a microwave that's lit up. You've got a stove, or you've got a little lamp or a night light or whatever it is you've got in your house. And you're hunting that light. You know why? Because there's some safety for us in that light. Can I tell you, the devil wants you in the dark. The devil wants you out in the deepest, darkest mess of the night of this world that he can put you in. But for your safety, God has a light. And the Lord says, come and get in the light with me. Thank God, aren't you glad we can march ourselves over, get right in the middle of the light of his love, the light of his grace, the light of his mercy. We're right in the middle of the brightest light of that God can shine. And he does that for me and you. Amen. He puts us and keeps us and gives us safety in the light. But not only that, again, the light's for our safety, but the light is also for our sight. I mean, as I say, we live in a dark world. But the light enables us to walk and to work and to do in this world. When you've got a light, you can go. You know, I said this probably a couple of other times, but scientists have shown that if you've got a completely dark area, nothing in the sky, you know, maybe one of those overcast nights, you can't see stars, moon, none of that stuff, and you're out somewhere in total darkness, somebody can light a match from up to 1 mile away, and you can see that light. Isn't that amazing? You can see that light from a great distance. All that Jesus told us, that he was the light of the world. He told us that when he leaves, we're the light of the world. And we're to be like a candle that is on a hillside, on a candlestick. We're a lamp that's burning in the dark and ugly world that people live in today. You need to be a light. Amen? I believe there's an old song in that old redback book that says, be a light, be a light. Be a bright and shining light. You need to be a light today to this old sorry, sinful, corrupt world. You need to be a light. And this light is for your sight. I mean, you got the light that enables you to see, to walk. Even though if we stumble, thank God we can overcome because we see the light. We see the light. Have you seen the light? The light of God's love. The light that God has as a burning flame of fire. He wants me and you to come to it. How did God get Moses' attention? He set a bush on fire. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this. It was a light. What happened when Paul got struck down at midday? He said there was a light that was shining brighter than the noonday sun. He said, something got my attention. It was the light of God. I'm here to tell you today we've got a great God because he is a great light in a dark, dark, dark world. You need him today. You need him to light. It's for your safety. It's for your sight. But it's also for your surety. It's also for your surety. Listen, the Bible said that there is no variableness in him, neither shadow of turning. You need to realize, man, this means he doesn't change. Our God, the Bible theological term for it is immutability. That means God doesn't change. You know what the Bible says there in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? God's light hadn't dimmed since the beginning of this thing. God's light will never dim. You remember what the Bible tells me and you? That when we get there in heaven, there'll be no more sun, no more moon. We won't need any of that stuff. You know why? Because he's the light. And he shines brighter than all that stuff anyway. I'm telling you, there is a surety. There is no variableness. And he doesn't vary in what he is and how he lights and how everything lights up. There's no variableness found in him. There's no shadow. You and I have never seen a perfect light. There's always a shadow. I don't care if the sun's right above you at the middle of the day. You know where the shadow is? Right there at your feet. There may be a little black circle at your feet because there's a shadow. You think, oh boy, the shadow's not over here. It's not over here. It's right there below you. There's no light in this world. But one of these days, you stand in God, all the shadows are gone. No wonder David could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil. He said, it might look like it's a valley that has shadows, but when I got the light, thank God, it's all good, clear, and I can see and I know where I'm going. Amen? I'm talking about God and His greatness. He is unchanging in His greatness. But last of all, real quick, let's think about this, if you will, in that verse number 18. God's unique in the giving of life for those that He births. Look what verse 18 says that it has to do with. Oh, James says this. First of all, he says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. He said, first of all, you and I have the unique gift of life from God because it's His will. Do you realize that? It's God's will that you should be saved. That's what the Bible says. Peter says it a little bit different way in chapter number 3 of the book of Peter. He says this. He said, for it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you, God is trying to draw people to Him. And He does it in a unique way. It's different. This world operates in one way, but God operates in another. It's His will. You know, sometimes I said earlier, it's our will. We say, well, you've been guilty of it. I have too. Same things on television or on news reports or whatever. And I say, well, God, I'll just blow that bunch off the face of the earth. Say amen right there because you've thought it too. I mean, you see somebody and they brought harm to a child. And you say, oh, look, I'll throw them under a jail. Put them away. Let the same thing happen to them. You know, we've all thought that, right? But you know what the Bible said? It's God's will that even people like that, even nations like those, should be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said this uniqueness of the giving of the way God gives life. He said it's of God's will. But second of all, he said it's by His word. Look what he says. Of His own will begat He us. God birthed us. How did He do it? With the word of truth. God still saves old sinners because He sends old preachers. Amen? I mean, He sends somebody to preach out the Word of God. It's God's Word. Brother, I believe that as surely as I understand. I believe God wants to use preaching. I know the world looks at preaching as foolishness, but it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save those that are lost. Amen? God's still saving old sinners. You know how He does it? He does it by getting some old leather lung, stiff back, I mean Bible toting, I'm talking about hollering, screaming, spitting, and slobbering preacher to get up and tell the word of truth. Amen? Now, I'll be honest with you. It's not always slobbering and screaming and yelling and hooping and hollering. Just preach the word of truth. Just give the word of truth. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Isaiah was the one that said, cry aloud and spare not. And I know there were others that preached maybe in a calm manner, an easier manner. And some were, as I say, leather lung and yelling and telling people repent and get right. Hey, doesn't matter. As long as the Word of God in its truth and sincerity goes out, it'll still save old sinners. Amen. It's the Word of God. You know what the Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Peter again in chapter number 1? He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how we're saved. And the Bible talks about it over in the book of Romans. Over in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17, it said, so then faith, hearing by the word of God. You know, that's the way God chose to save people. It's not, well, I'm good and I'm getting better and I'm going to do good. That's not how God saves people. He saves people by His Word. He reveals how sinful we are. He calls us to a place of repentance, and He saves us. He said it's by His will, by His Word. But then look at this. He said that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. It's by God's work. God's work is this, that when He saves people, He expects them to be, He says, as a kind of first fruit. What that means is this, the first thing, the first that was first born out of a flock, the first part of the harvest, all belonged to God. It all belonged to God. What does that mean? That means that God set it aside and it was consecrated for the Lord and His purposes. So God has saved us of His own will, of it by His own word, and for His own work. He's setting us aside that we might do what He wants us to do. Brother Allen was talking about that earlier, about, you know, we won't do what we want. God may have something for you to do. I don't know what it is, and it might not be the same thing He wants me to do, but God's got a will and a purpose for your life today. Brother and Sister Eastridge, hit the road and go out and take the gospel and do these Sunday school workshops and programs, and He preaches and revivals and helps churches. And you know what? That's what God wants them to do. Amen? And they do a great job of it. But you know what? That's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to stand here and preach at Old Bethel Baptist Church in Chickamauga. And what does God want you to do? I don't know. I don't absolutely know what God wants you to do. But you know what? He'll let you know. He don't have to tell me. It ain't none of my business what He wants to do with you, but it is your business, and you need to listen. But can I tell you this? It is God's will that every person in this building be saved by God's grace. That's God's will. I know that for an absolute biblical fact. It's not God's will that any should perish. It's God's will that everybody be saved. You know what? There's some of you, you just need to come forward this morning and repent and get right with God, and get saved by that amazing grace. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this morning.